Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love six pieces of toast in the morning.
Damn straight. What's a better way to start the day with dry toast?
Six pieces of dry toast. Yum, yum, yum.
Yum, yum, yum. Breakfast of champions right there.
I am Michael Ann, and with me, as always, is Bethany.
Hello. How's it going? Lovely people. You know, it's been better. It's been better. The things in the world have been better. But
yeah.
But we carry on, I guess, as My Chemical Romance once taught me. Here we are. We do have some good Dustin to discuss, and
yes,
and some exciting things to look for. We might be discussing some exciting things and the things that bring us joy at the end of this episode. But
yes,
yeah, we got what a doozy. What a doozy to wake up to this morning. In case you're wondering on a recording, it's Saturday, February 28th. Oh, last day of February, everyone. Happy March when you're listening. And yeah.
You yeah. Know. War.
War.
Fun.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
Say it again.
Once again, America's looking like some real assholes. We're looking like the villain right now in the world, and
always.
For that I'd like to apologize to every other country. I don't know.
Listen, I'm not doing shit, okay? I'm not out here trying to cover up pedophilia.
That's true.
By bombing other countries. Yeah.
We did not vote for this, and we do not support the administration that we are under. If that isn't abundantly clear from having listened to us before, I think it probably is that we're super against it.
Super against it.
Yeah. Super not into it. Super not into it at all. But, you know, speaking of the first week of March, I'm turning 34 this week.
Yeah. It's Michael Ann's birthday, everyone. Wish her a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Michael Ann. 34. The last year. Michael Ann knows this because I Snapchatted her about it. The last year that you are in the demographic that pop culture cares about, the 18 to 34 demographic.
No.
Soak it up, baby. When you hit 35, they don't give a damn about you. Just kidding. They kind of do sometimes.
Just
if you can prove that you can make the money.
Women just lose value the older they get.
They sure do. It's real.
Especially
especially
once they cross that pivotal age of 18, I guess.
Yeah.
It's all then they're just garbage. Because it's all about... Anyways,
this has started off really depressing.
It has. And we need to get back on track here.
We do have
I'm turning 34.
Yes.
I love it. We're excited. Yes,
we're excited. Aging is what an honor to age, truly.
Yes.
What an honor to age and to be here and to have laugh lines. And we said, again, per society, women loses value. But I think we gain value, baby. I think older, wiser, better. For the most part, have felt more confident in my 30s than I ever did in my 20s. So there's that. I hope my 40s are even better. I hope I'm like the most locked in. I had this conversation with Mike last night about, it was like this big running joke we have about flip-flops. Anyway, it's not the point. The point is I hate them. But back in the day when I was a teenager, like all teenage girls, we all went through that like flip-flop phase, you know?
Old Navy flip-flops.
Yeah, Old Navy flip-flops. We all owned in every color, right? If you're a millennial woman, you loved walking into Old Navy and looking at that wall of flip-flops. So anyhow, we were talking about like as the weather gets warmer, as we enter spring and summer, Mike always jokes around like, oh, flip-flop season. I'm like, fuck no, because I hate flip-flops now as a woman who's, you know, older. And because I'm not a 15-year-old girl anymore. And he's like, oh, tell that to, you know, like high school you. And I go, honestly, which is, I think, true. I was like freshman and sophomore year, I just wanted to like fit in and be like everyone else. And so I wore like my Aeropostale or like my Hollister hoodies and my camisoles with a layered polo on top of it and like the jeans that everyone was wearing and flip flops. And I was like, and then by like junior and senior year, I was like, fuck that. I'm going to be who I want to be. I know who my friends are now and they're going to love me regardless. And you know what? I got a lot more compliments on my outfits when I started wearing, I wore heels a lot my senior year of high school. I did that. I loved wearing like pearls and heels and whatever. And it made me happy. So that is what I was jamming to. And I was thinking like, life is kind of like high school where, yeah, like the first few years, your first couple decades, you're like, oh, I just want to fit in. And then like you hit your 30s and you're like, fuck that. I'm going to wear my nerdy ass A-line skirt with a robot on it. And I'm going to get hella compliments. Do you know how many people stop me and ask me where I get my purses? All the time. The other day I'm working a shift in the hospital and one of the techs comes in and is like, I always notice that you have really nice pocketbooks. Where do you get them? And I'm like, loungefly.com, baby. I'm about to change your life. So yeah, anyways, that was a long soliloquy to say, just age. It's fine. It's totally fine.
It's fine.
Be you. You know?
Yeah.
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 Yes. We both have birthdays coming up. Yours is obviously much sooner, but clearly age and time passing has been something that's on both of our minds.
Oh my God. It's been painful. It's like painful. Like, I don't know, any other listeners out there, let me know your thoughts.
Yeah.
This is the first year where I'm like, wait a fucking goddamn second here.
Again,
when did I get 34 years old?
Feels like it was yesterday to me. And I'm like, that's 16 years ago. Like people that were born in 2010 could hold a driver's license. And that's wild to me.
My niece was born in 2009.
Yeah.
She's done had her license.
Yeah.
Driving all over the place.
All over the place. She's a whole human.
It's
whole ass human.
Crazy.
It's fucking trippy. So trippy, truly. It's
just came in here.
It's insane.
I heard you're talking about the passage of time.
He's like, I have some thoughts and feelings. Okay.
Yes.
Any other bits and bobs before we do a brief recap, before we do a quick what we missed on Glee, and jump into our current chapters. Any other thoughts and feelings?
On
the eve of your 34th birthday. By the time this episode comes out, you might already be 34. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, this episode's probably not going to be edited until the following week.
So everybody, but Michael Ann is already 34. Woo!
Woo! Wish me happy birthday if you haven't already.
Yes.
Join our Patreon for a month. We're the $3. Then you can cancel.
Yeah, then you can cancel my just for this month for Michael Ann's birthday. Do it, guys. Do it for her birthday.
Actually, I think I reduced it to $1. So
yeah.
$1.
$1. You can spare.
Do that.
You know? Yeah. Hopefully, maybe.
I mean, honestly, can you? Fucking Jesus. I feel like I feel like I'm spending like $1,400 on fucking groceries every month.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And there's two of us. Like, what is a family of five doing right now?
We went for like a couple bits and bobs last night, like not even like a proper grocery shop, and spent $60. And I was like, what?
Yes.
What is happening?
I went there the other day, spent over $100. And then I get home and I'm like,
I don't even have
anything to fucking eat right now.
Yeah. Like, what? What did I even buy? Like, this is going to last me 2 days and then I'll be back. But when they're like, don't eat out, buy groceries, it's cheaper. And I'm like, is it? I don't know guys.
It's not anymore, I don't think. I'm convinced it's not, because it's gonna, just like
I'm also
everything's
convinced.
So outrageously expensive. It's crazy. But you know what? That's fine, because Trump said that we will have cheaper eggs eventually. So
at some point, maybe at the cost of all human rights. But you best believe that. Don't even start about what's going on in Kansas. I'm sorry. No, we need to lock the fuck in.
Oh my God. Okay, real quick though about Kansas. If you guys don't know, they invalidated every trans person's driver's license. So trans people no longer have any identification. In Kansas, they cannot drive. They didn't get any heads up about this either.
you can't do anything without a driver's license. Like, you can't, if you're going and applying for a new job, like, you don't have valid ID anymore. The fuck? Like, I don't know.
Right. That's... And if you can't drive, a lot of jobs are going to be like, oh, you can't drive here? Yeah. Then no, fuck you. You know?
Like, that's insane, honestly. So disturbing. And people being like, you know, you could just move to Colorado. It's not that far. And I was like, who the fuck has that money? Like, they were like, what? That's literally a post I saw the other day. Like, that was their solution. And I was like, huh? Like,
I love when people's solution is like, just move.
Just move.
Oh, okay.
Like, everyone has like that. Like, people are like, I don't understand. People don't evacuate in a storm. You think that they wanted to stay there? No. Like, do you understand money is a thing? They didn't have a place to evacuate. They didn't have money for a hotel. They didn't have money for gas to get out of there. So that times that by a million when it's, oh, just move if you don't like what's going on. Who the fuck, like, who do you think we are, millionaires? No.
Right.
Like, Jesus.
I'm moving 4 hours away, and I've been saving for, like, 8 months.
Yeah. When we moved up here to Georgia, like, I remember looking into, like, moving trucks and this, that, and the other. It's insane how much it costs to move, y'all. Like, it is, I'm saying that, like, y'all probably don't know. Like, you do. But I just, like, hate that as a solution. Like, oh, well, they can just move out of Kansas. What the no. First of all, you shouldn't have to. And second of all, like, on little notice, just being like, move to a whole nother state because your rights as a citizen was just stripped from you. Like, that's your solution? Jesus.
Right. Wow. And it starts with trans people, to be clear.
Yeah.
And but it doesn't end with trans people.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
And
the leopards will always eat your face. Just
the leopards.
To be clear.
Will always eat your fucking face.
Mm-hmm.
So remember that.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? Oh, yeah. You're good. Andrew left the room and I was like, excuse me, what the fuck? And he was like, well, I need the internet. And I was like, take the internet.
Just take the internet, Andrew. Go on. Take it. Take another little piece of my heart now, baby. We promised less unhinged, and I think we've started more unhinged.
Honestly, there's just so much going on right now in, like, the world. Like, it's tough. And then these chapters,
hard
like...
not to be unhinged.
These chapters are really good, but I did have a hard time with them.
Yeah, some difficult subject matter.
Yeah.
Approaching here. And so again, okay, let's go ahead and do a quick trigger warning. Again, trigger warning for overdose, addiction, death in general, because there's some other death that's discussed.
Boating accidents.
So as per usual, if that's something that you do not want to discuss right now, please by all means take care of yourself, bop out of this episode. It's so weird to me to think, like, our next book, like, none of us are gonna know. Like, we won't know until we start reading it. Like, is this sad? Is this like, what trigger warnings do I need to give? We'll know soon. But, which is exciting, but also crazy. So those are the warnings. Quick recap. Our main character here is this lovely lady. lovely lady named Emma, but it also is kind of Sailor. Emma Sailor. Her dad is a dentist, and she... he recently got remarried, and he's off to honey that moon. I wish I knew someone that was getting married soon so I could tell them to honey that moon, because it's – well, actually, I kind of do know someone. But anyway, it's not the point. But actually, I know a few people are getting married soon. But anywho, honey that moon. So they're off to honey that moon, and she is last-minute plans. She was supposed to spend the summer with a friend while they were off hunting that moon, but instead she's now with her grandma on her mom's side. Her mom unfortunately passed away a few years ago from an overdose, and so now she's kind of back in this lake town, meeting all of these cousins and all of these people that she has no memory of, and we're about to embark on a summer where she's of self-discovery, because it is a Sarah Dessen novel, so it's gonna take place in summer, and we're gonna come of age, baby. You can guarantee those two things. And the third thing is a boy with a loping walk.
Interesting name.
Yeah, and an interesting name.
Yeah.
Not so that's John Glenn.
Uh-huh. So now we're on chapter 6.
Chapter 6, baby!
So... dad calls her from Greece at 4 a.m. He doesn't realize the time change.
We've all been there.
Seems like he's worried. He's like, are you okay? How is everything? And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm great. And then she's like, you know, he's like, how's Celeste? And she's like, oh, good, raising a cousin Amber's kid. And he was like, Amber? She's like 10. And then he was like, oh, well, where she was 30, 20 years ago, she was 10.
See, her dad understands. When I read this after, I was like, her dad is us right now. We're like, but that was yesterday. Oh, I guess that was 20 years ago.
My sister is a little older than me, obviously, but when I was growing up, she had a friend named Alyssa who had a daughter, Skylar.
Mm-hmm.
And Skylar got married recently, and I was like,
no, can't
like
be.
6 years old.
She's, are they, this is a child bride situation. They're like, she is a fully legal adult. And you're like, well, damn.
So she's like, all right, dad, go away. Go enjoy your honeymoon. Leave me alone. Bye. And then she goes back to sleep, wakes back up at 8 a.m., heads downstairs, Oxford. Love that name.
Quality name.
I feel like Oxford can go one of two ways. You can either be like working at a grunge bar and have a bunch of tattoos.
100%.
Or you wear the cursed blue sports coat with the khaki pants.
Yeah, yes.
It's
and
one
there's
or the
no
other.
In between. Yeah, like you come from a line of Oxfords and you play lacrosse, you know? Or or you're like super cool, working in a grunge bar. Like there's no in between for the name Oxford. He seems to be on like the gooder side of being named Oxford, though, I will say.
Yes, he's definitely working class. He's definitely not rocking a blue blazer.
Yeah, with the khaki pants.
I don't know what it is about that combination, but I will never trust it.
Agreed.
Oxford's there. They share the paper. She takes the obituaries, as she does.
Kind of crazy for 2019. I know older people were still like reading newspapers, but I'm still like, 2019.
I know.
The whole family's reading the newspaper. Okay.
I know. Well, later on, we do see that they use the newspaper to clean the windows.
True. So, maybe it has something to do with that. That's fair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think my dad still reads the newspaper, honestly.
I respect that. I respect people who do. Let it never die, you know?
Sometimes I think about going back.
Yeah.
No, like
taking it back.
Ditching the analog in any way possible. But then it's like, I'm going to go get a paper off a newsstand.
Yeah.
Who owns that paper?
Also, like, it's like, kind of expensive. Like, if you get, like, a delivery service, like, it's quite pricey. And I'm like, who can afford that?
Right. Exactly.
But in theory, it would be, I like the idea of a newspaper, you know?
Yes. In theory.
Here's where we get the toast. The first appearance of the toast. I've never known a family to, like, toast this much. It's a big to-do. They got
it's
a whole new toaster.
They all eat it.
They all eat it. It's everyone's, and it's just toast. It's not like, oh, someone's making eggs while someone's pouring up the OJ while someone's making, flipping some pancakes. No, they're all just eating toast with butter. And no one even does like a toast with jam situation.
I know. It's either toast with butter or just plain ass toast. It's like,
toast.
At least put something on there.
Yeah.
But yes, so Tiffany scuttles in to make the toast. Bailey comes in. She's getting some toast.
I just want you to know that you called her Tiffany again when her name is Trinity. We're going to get this girl's name, y'all. I promise.
Trinity. Like the holy. Like
the
holy
Trinity. Or the chicky poo from The Matrix.
I have never seen The Matrix.
Oh, man. I don't really recommend the sequels, but the first one is good. And, you know, like for the time, I could see why it was very, very revolutionary. And I can also see why the Wachowskis both ended up becoming trans women. When you watch The Matrix, you're like, oh, yeah, y'all were really going through. You were learning things about yourself at this time.
Yeah.
It's all making sense to me now. You may not have made sense to you all the time, but now, in hindsight, it does.
We're here.
But yeah, first one's good. It's decent. The most recent sequel, don't really watch any of the sequels. They're not worth your time.
I won't, probably. Okay, so Mimi's knee is acting up, so she needs help at the hotel. everybody's like not letting Emma do anything. They're calling her like, well, you're the rich cousin who's here on vacation. You can't do anything. And she's like, what the fuck? I want to do something. Let me do something.
Yes. Also, this is another thing I like about a Sarah Dessen protagonist, which makes them unique to teenagers, I feel like. They always want to work. Like, it's always, like, them trying to convince their parents or their family that, like, I could take a summer job. And I was like, most teenagers would be like, cool if I don't have to, thank you. So it's just an interesting thing I've noticed throughout her books.
Yes. And, like, hard work, too, you know?
Yeah.
Trinity does steal the butter as well. She takes the butter into her bedroom for some reason. Yeah. Gordon is going to camp, and I would like to take note that Gordon is wearing shorts and a bathing suit. There is no Victorian clothing mentioned at all.
Which is really sad because it is. In my mind now, she's just a little Victorian girl.
Little Victorian girl. Beep bopping around. Jack is also late for work. Jack's the only one late for work, I think. We find out that the toaster is from the sergeant, aka Trinity's fiance and baby daddy, who is currently deployed.
I have a lot of questions. It kind of starts coming up in this chapter with the cleaning, but I feel like it comes up more in later chapters, so maybe I should wait, but it's on my mind now. So, speaking of our little Victorian child, so Gordon is 10, so it makes sense that she's not, like, you know, involved in all of the family business and stuff. She gets to go and enjoy her summer camp. But from what I understand, a lot of these people started pretty young. Like, they talk later on about being, like, 14 when they started pitching in whatever. And I was like, listen, I understand it's a family business, but, like, child labor laws, y'all. I'm a little concerned about. And then also I'm like, is our girl Emma getting paid for any of this? Because, like, yeah, it's being like, oh, yeah, I want to help. But I was like, if you're going to now chip in every day to go basically be a housekeeper at this hotel, I do feel like you should get some kind of, you know, benefit from that. Like, you should get some kind of money from that. But it kind of just seems like it's volunteer work.
I think the benefit she's getting is staying at Mimi's house.
True. I guess she is being lodged. So if you think about it, they are taking care of her food in her housing over the summer. But yeah, I was like, huh, I get the whole, like, we're not the richest family business vibes. And also, this is very true to life. Like, a lot of people that do have, like, a family business, you do just kind of start working under the table at a younger age. But that does always make me, like, a little bit sad. I'm like, oh, I don't know. Yeah. Like, we do have child labor laws for a reason.
Do we still have them? Who knows?
Who knows? It's real 50-50 at this point.
Yeah. Honestly, we'd have to look it up.
Yeah. And I don't know if I want to, because it'll probably just depress me, to be honest.
100%. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So she talks to Bridget a little bit, whose grandpa is doing a lot better.
Good to know.
Which is great. Mimi is on the phone pushing a cleaning cart, and Emma follows her. And again, she's like, no, you don't. There's nothing you can do. No work for you. No, go sit down. Go away. Then Trinity comes out. She's like, I got the clog out. Disgusting. And she keeps being like, let me help. No. But once Mimi walks away, Trinity does let her help, I believe.
Yes. She basically is like, you can't ask. You just have to, like, tell her that you're doing it.
Yeah.
And she'll, like... You have to force her hand, essentially.
Yes. Yeah, Mimi is like, your mom would want you to relax and enjoy yourself. And she's like, actually, I think my mom would want me to help you so that you weren't injured on your knee.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's chapter 6, baby.
Chapter 6, baby! Our girl is getting used to the Calivander way, eating dry toast and helping with the family biz.
Exactly.
I also need everyone to know, this is another millennial thing about me. Anytime I say the word family business, I do think of for like 5 seasons of Supernatural, when in the beginning recap, they were like, the family business hunting monsters. It comes to my head every time. And I don't know if anyone else does that. So please comment. Let me know. Okay, chapter 7.
Not me. I've never watched that show.
You missed out on a culture zeitgeist. I've never seen The Matrix or Supernatural. Michael Ann.
I've never seen Die Hard either. I want to add that to the list.
That I don't feel like you're missing out on. But it's also because I'm not a boy who like grew up in the 90s. I feel like if I was a boy who grew up in the 90s, i.e. my husband, I would be like, oh my God. Yeah, I can't believe you've never seen it. But yeah. For me, that one didn't really hit. Okay. Chapter 7. So we get to talk with Trinity, our girl Trinity, about her feelings and why she was kind of bitchy so far in this novel to our girl Emma. So she's like, you know, it's not that I don't like you. And so Emma's surprised by this because, of course, everything, the vibe that Trinity's given off so far is that she doesn't. But basically Trinity explains, which is fair, that like, I was basically told you were the rich cousin coming in and we were supposed to like make sure you enjoyed your summer. And then Emma, fair to her, was like, I didn't ask that. Like, I didn't say any of that like that. So like, you can't really hold that against me. Also, Trinity thinks that Emma's dad is hot. So that's a fun little thing. We learn that Trinity is in school, double majoring in math and education because she wants to be a middle school algebra teacher. Bless you. You willingly want to teach middle school algebra, woman? You're a saint. So I'd like to give her mad props for that. So yeah, basically they're cleaning. We're learning a little bit about Trinity. We're like, we're not becoming like besties yet, but we're definitely forming a bond. We're forming a bond. Trinity's not all bad. And Trinity realizes that Emma's not all bad, basically. So they're, you know, they're really putting in some elbow grease. They're learning the ways of cleaning. And she learns, you know, like to flush, do it with your foot, put on the rubber gloves, bleach is your friend. I do like that Emma has kind of this realization, like, oh, am I this person? Like, am I leaving my hotel room dirty? I don't think so, which again, and everything we've learned about her character so far, I would also assume she probably isn't. But yes, again, my point being, I think everyone needs to work certain jobs to appreciate things or just be an empathetic human being. I've never worked in house cleaning before, but I always tip my person. I always try to leave things as clean as I can. Because again, I feel like making other human beings' jobs a little bit easier is the least I can do. But yeah.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah, you just, you know, it's, if you've ever, again, working in the hospitality industry in a sense for years, I kind of felt adjacent to these people, even though I've never exactly worked in housekeeping before. But I can imagine it is a super, super hard job, and I would not like it. Another thing I saw online today, speaking of, was people asking about checking out. Do you check out? And honestly, for years, no, I didn't. Because I am usually the person who's checking out at the very last minute. And if you're checking out at the very last minute, like, what does it really matter? But I have started doing, if I check out early, letting them know for the purpose of, it does help hotel staff and it helps, like, they can get in your room and clean earlier if they know that you're not in it. So, you know, a lot of things have apps now. Like, I use a lot of Marriott hotels, obviously, because of Mike's kind of, you know, affiliation with them, so to speak, and they have it on the app that you can check out. So if I ever leave early, I do always be like, checked out, just so that way the hotel knows, and that gives the housekeeping a little bit more time. So there's my pro tip of the day, everyone. But yeah, if I am leaving at checkout time, I'm like, you don't need to know I'm checking out. Like, you know that the room should be vacated at this point. It's fine.
Yes.
But anyways, oh, also, our girl definitely, like, is starting to crush on Rue a little bit because Rue is there and she's all like, oh, hey. Rue comes in. Again, this is kind of where we learn, like, everyone just sort of helps out. Like, he pops in for a little bit, but he's got to get back to the station. And it just seems like a lot. We also learn about the rubber duckies. Sorry, the walkie-talkies, where his code name is Rubber Duck. Taylor gets to apologize for being a jealous biatch, basically. So that's nice. And again, it's just kind of learning about, like, small lake town. Everyone's kind of related, except for the few people that aren't. Everyone chips in. Everyone starts chipping in from a young age. And apparently they all keep in touch with walkie-talkies because it's got good signal. At first, when he, like, got the walkie-talkie, I thought it was work-related. And then I realized it was just his friends, like, checking in. I was like, oh, okay. So a little confused by that, but all right. So they talk about kind of everyone's age, which is helpful to me because I was a little confused as to where everyone fit in. So she asked about like them all being the same age, and he's like, Trinity's the oldest, 5 years ahead. Jack graduated 2 years ago. April's a sophomore at ECU. Me, Taylor, Vincent, and Bailey are all seniors this year. So they're all the same age as Emma, essentially, to clue everyone in. So she asked about Jack being in school, and he's like, no, he's kind of like taking over the station. She's surprised by this because like back in Lakeview, like basically everyone goes to college. So again, it's kind of one of those, like, she's realizing things are a little bit different here. Like everyone. Okay. Yeah. So she's realizing again, like she has come from a world, like I think she's kind of realizing a little bit, like maybe her life is a little privileged, and she could see why some of these people might not be, like someone like Trinity may not have been thrilled that she's here. But now of course, as she's like getting her hands dirty, you know, like it's kind of making a little bit more sense. So anywho, Bailey comes in and she brings up what the plan is for the evening, because they always kind of have like a plan. And she's like, North Pavilion at 8, going over to Colin and Blake's, because again, Bailey seems to be the one that always likes hanging out with like the rich kid, the yacht boys or whatever, the yacht club boys. And Trinity's not into it. And she's like, I'm super pregnant. I'm not going to hang out with those rich people. No, thank you. And Bailey's all upset because she's like, no one is interested in what I want to do ever. And Trinity's like, because all you ever want to do is go hang out with the rich kids, which no one wants to do. So they talk about the fact that, like, basically everyone always, if they get with any of the rich boys, they break up right away, which Emma points out, like, my mom didn't. And then Trinity kind of points out that they did get divorced, which, yeah, that's true.
True. Like,
I mean, they did make it for a few years at least. So again, it kind of gets awkward for a minute because they're all like, ooh, are you okay talking about your dead mom? Is everything okay? And you know, Emma's kind of as good with it as she can be, I guess. And she's like, oh, like, I'm not insulted. Like, everything's fine. Trinity says that she has a high there tonight with her, the sergeant, who's her fiance slash baby daddy. And she's like, but you're going to go out with Bailey. And Emma's kind of like, okay, I don't know if that's what I want to do. I guess, you know, am I being forced to? But all right. And she tells her, like, you have to go. Like, cousins don't let, you know, cousins go alone, especially with the yacht club boys. And so she's like, okay. And so then basically, Trinity gets her, like, dolled up in her outfits because she's like, I'm pregnant now and I can't fit in any of these things and I can't do these, like, things anymore and you should go and do that and stuff, I think. Or maybe that's in the next chapter. I'm honestly not certain. Oh, yes. I think the next chapter is when they talk about her picking out her outfit. But anyways, yeah. Essentially, they're all like, that's the plan. No one else likes the plan. Bailey really wants to go. And she's like, you know, that's what we're doing. And yes, that is
yes.
Chapter 7, basically. Learning to clean, getting closer with Trinity, and coming up with a plan for the evening, which is that Bailey likes the Yacht Club boys.
We also find, she also asks if everybody hates her dad because,
oh yeah,
he took her mom away and then she died.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She's like, I didn't know if everybody like kind of blamed my dad for her addiction problems, and this is when we find out that no, she was kind of a hot mess all the time. And yeah. Her, and then she finds out that her mom was with Chris Price when he crashed his boat and died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's that whole thing, which we'll be getting to, is super tragic.
Super tragic. But then we have chapter 8. Bailey's like, who are you tonight, Emma or Sailor? Emma like can't decide. She's like, I don't know. Emma was the rich cousin from Lakeview. Sailor could be anyone.
True.
Trinity dressed her and put a bunch of makeup on her. She's wearing like wedges and like she tried to get her to wear like super low cut dresses and skirts and whatever, and she was like, no, thank you.
This was giving me like Morgan and Isabel vibes, like when they like, yeah. So I was like, oh, it's like when they dress up coolly. So I'm getting, I was like, okay, Trinity, I'm warming to you.
yes, I can understand being like, I'm 9 months pregnant, I'm 23,
yeah,
I'm working my fucking ass off every single day at this place, and this rich 17-year-old's just gonna like hang out. What the fuck?
I can see her being bitter for sure.
Especially when you're pregnant, like, oh,
she's going through it. The hormones are hormoning, like, she's over it.
Oh yeah. So then they talk about too that they rent their house out during the summer.
Yeah.
So that's why they're like crazy in Mimi's like sunroom. But she likes her shoes actually, and her little blouse, and she's feeling good. And she's like, hell yeah. So they get to the pavilion, Lake North side. They drove the boat over. There is a band with Tropical Prince shirts and khaki shorts, and you just know there's blue blazers all over that.
Blue mother effing blazers everywhere.
Everywhere. So yeah, so she's like basically saying North Lake is completely different from Lake North. Lake North is like all fancy. Everything's new. They have those like bougie yuppie stores named like Sprinkles and Rosewater Boutique and all of that. They get to the Tides, which is like an insane resort. She's like, holy shit, what the fuck? And Bailey's like, I know, crazy, right? And eventually they meet up with $300 a night in 2019.
Yeah.
So you can only imagine what it would be
now,
year 2020.
Oh my God. Even more expensive now, I'm certain.
It's the Lord's year 2026. Not the Lord's year 2020.
No. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Time's an illusion.
Time's an illusion and nothing is real.
Yeah. Money is fake. Just print more.
Literally just print more.
You could decide that, and then people are like, wah, wah, that's not how it works. It fucking is, actually.
We could actually decide to not have any currency whatsoever. Yeah. It's actually something we could decide.
We could just do that. Like that.
Everything's made up.
It's all made up. It's all made up. Credit scores were only a thing once women were allowed to start having credit cards. It's always freaking capitalism and misogyny, baby.
It's always capitalism. It's always misogyny. Always white supremacy.
Yes.
Anyway.
Anyway, back to the book.
So she points out like the yacht club and the pavilion and all of that stuff. And then they meet up with two boys, Colin, which is like Bailey's like, I don't know, whatever he is, yeah, or situationship.
Crush situation, yeah.
And then there's Blake, a redhead with a shell necklace. Hilarious.
Oh my God. I was like, he won. So
she's like, oh shit, this is kind of like a double date. This feels like, actually, this is not what I was expecting, but you know, I'm going to go with the flow. We find out Spinnerbait is playing on the 4th of July. Hate Spinnerbait.
And they kind of, this is a massive red flag for me, for Blake and Colin, as if there weren't other red flags for them. But the fact that they kind of seem like okay with Spinnerbait playing, I'm like, no, hate Spinnerbait. I was like, oh no, they seem like guys who like spinnerbait. Get out, girls. Get out. Run. Run as fast as you can.
You can't trust a rich boy. And no, you can't trust a boy who likes spinnerbait.
Definitely not. Hate spinnerbait. Ugh. Obviously. Obviously.
So Bailey, Colin, and Blake are kind of like drinking. We find out Blake and Colin are just finished their freshman year at East U. Blake acts like that's like majorly different from like being a senior in high school, which like I guess it is, but like
you're not that much. Yeah. At the time you feel like it is, and then you look back later in life and you're like, I was still a wee little fetus. Yeah.
Yes. You're like, oh, I was a baby doing baby things.
A little baby.
Bailey tells them that her dad used to work here doing sailing lessons. Colin asked if he lives on campus, which is like, it sounds like fucking college, Disney college.
It does. It really does.
Right?
So
they all live
thing
in these like little apartments. She has no idea if he lived there or not. She doesn't really know a lot, I feel like, about her dad's.
Yeah, she doesn't know anything about the time at the lake, you know, which the more we learn about the lake, the more I'm like, oh, I see why we didn't talk about the lake, maybe. Again, mom did, but dad, I could see him kind of being like,
Yeah.
You know,
that's kind of like, no, nah, I'm okay. Colin and Bailey. Oh, so they go back to their room. Colin and Bailey are like flirting, whatever. Blake starts talking to her. Two other girls show up, Hannah and Rachel. They work at the kids camp, and it seems like one of them has a crush on Rue.
Yes.
Hannah does.
Yeah. Which again, Emma Sailor, I'm not sure. I guess we're calling her Sailor now. Is like my Rue. And I was like, oh snap, he's yours. Lena? Okay.
I was like, oh, your Rue. Okay, girl. Already. Oh yeah, this is where he says, I'm going into sophomore year. Big difference from high school.
Difference. Massive.
He's going to business school, but he'll probably drop out soon because they created this app that shuts your text messaging ability down when you're driving. Which like actually exists now, I'm pretty sure. Like, I'm pretty sure that is like a standard thing you can set up in your phone. So I was like, you know what?
Before his time.
You're before his time. Sarah Dessen is before her time.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, not a bad idea, to be honest. Like,
yeah.
Could have been anything. Could have been a fucking stupid idea, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
But they got an A in their class for designing this, and now they have backers, and he's saying stupid shit. Like, it's kind of crazy being 19 and knowing you've probably already made your first million.
I hate this man so much. I'm like, stupid tech bro. Oh, I hate you.
Stupid fucking tech bro. Probably good friends with Mark Zuckerberg.
Probably.
Ooh, at this point. The alien. who makes the frozen foods?
The dad, their one classmate's dad.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the project, but really they want to pitch it to him because he's got money and then they can go and, you know, be millionaires or whatever.
Right, right, right.
Also, like, he's like, my first million at 19. Like, he planned, he's like, this is going to continue. I'm going to just be banging out hits after hits, making money. And you're like, ugh, gross.
Gross. So then they start playing beer pong. She's not drinking. Hannah and Rachel return. And then a bunch of people show up and it's like wicked hot. So she's like, I got to go outside. So,
okay, Boston.
Sorry. It's steamy in there. She's got to go outside.
I think it's wicked hot. It was getting wicked hot in there.
It's getting wicked hot. Blake follows her out there and kind of like asks her why she's drinking. Like, are your parents strict? Is it religion? And she's like, no, it's just not my thing. Which, like, good for you, girl. Shit, yeah. I wish it wasn't my thing when I was 17. Fuck. she makes a joke. He's like, speaking of parents, I want to show you something. And she goes, is it your parents? Because if so, you might want a mint and some coffee. And a chance to make better choices. And he does not understand her joke at all. And she's like, okay, whatever. Never mind.
Let's just... I thought it was quality. I liked it.
I did too. I did too. So she walks him down, or he walks her down to like a wall. First of all, he like walked her into a dark area behind a building. And I was like, I wouldn't go there.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you doing?
Big
what are you doing?
Mm-mm.
No, that's a no. For all our younger listeners, I don't think we have that many, but for all of our younger listeners, if we have any, do not follow a boy behind a dark building.
Ever.
Okay. I don't care what he says he has back there.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's the campus wall. All of the people who work there, like sign their names on it. She doesn't see her mom and dad's names, but she like ponders, wonders if they're there. Then Blake kisses her and she's like, ooh, my first kiss. Fun. Interesting. And then she hears Bailey yelling. Anyway, so Bailey is yelling and they go and they find that Bailey and Jack are fighting because, she's been drinking and Jack is assuming that she plans on driving the boat. And she's like, I am not planning on driving the boat. She's like, I set all of this up. I thought you were all going to hang out with me, and now you're just showing up and yelling at me and taking the boat. And she's like, I am not going to drive the boat, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So then Jack yells at Colin as well and is like, did you know that she's underage and she's still in high school? Did you know that? Did she tell you that? I'm like, damn. I think they do know that, though.
I think, yeah, I think they're aware. But I like that, you know, Jack was like, yes, point it out. Just a reminder.
Yeah. Jack was like, just quick reminder, guys. Those are children.
Mm-hmm.
Rue is behind him. She's trying to like calm Bailey down, but Bailey's just like yelling at him. She's like, just get out of here. You don't want to be here. It seems like what's really happening is Bailey is feeling a little bit left out of the like overall group.
Yeah.
And she's like, I just want us all to do something together. And it seems like she's had a hard time getting everybody together.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. You know, the vibe I get is she's like, I show up for the dumb things you all want to do. And the one time right. I want, like, you know, this is what I want to do. And no one ever shows up, which again, no one is right or wrong. Like, I understand why people right. are wary of wanting to hang out with the rich kids. I understand, you know, I don't want to do the same. You live in a small town, you're doing the same thing every night, whatever. So I like understand both perspectives, but yeah, yep. I think it's just frustrating for her. Like, I understand where she's coming from, even though she's not necessarily yep. right either.
Right. Exactly. I'd say there's like no right and wrong, as yeah. like, as you said. Like, they're just siblings, they're fighting. So he's like still ragging on her for being like trying to drive home, and she's like, I was not gonna fucking drive home. Stop assuming I was gonna drive home. And Jack's like, what we know is death is no joke. So stop fucking around. She tries to calm Bailey down. She's like, just like chill, like Bailey's like looking at Rue, like basically begging him to understand, like, I was not going to drink and drive the boat. I was not going to do that. And Rue's like, it's fine, like, no worries. When everybody walks away, she says to Rue, like, what the fuck just happened? And Rue was like, well, I guess it depends on who you ask. And she was like, well, I'm asking you. She basically, Bailey wanted him to stay. He wanted to leave. And then they started fighting about drinking and being on the boat. It seems like this whole town is haunted by Rue's father's death, understandably. Mm-hmm. But Rue and Jack leave, and then Bailey and Sailor walk home together. Bailey is like, I don't know if I'm okay. I wasn't going to take the boat home. Like, she's just like repeatedly being like, I was not going to drive. And she's like, Jack's just being a jerk because dad wants him to take over the station. Sailor's like, I don't really understand what happened. And she's like, Jack's the oldest. He knows what he does. Everyone will do. If he come over here in good faith, it would have been fine, but he didn't want to hang out with them. Like, he'll hang out with them on our side, but he won't hang out with them on their side, basically. Yeah, she's like, he doesn't care who I date. He'd rather I dated like a douchebag blue collar than like the nicest guy ever from over here. And oh yeah, he's like, you were actually going to come to blows about the drinking on the boat thing. And she's like, yes, because that's the subject that negates everything. The fact that he brought it up in front of Rue makes her look even worse. And she is walking. They walk by their third gated neighborhood in a row. And she says, what were they keeping out? Civilization? They're keeping out the pores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the pores.
They're keeping out the pores. So then she basically is like, hey, what happened with Rue's dad and my mom? And that's when we get to chapter 9, which is an explanation of what happened.
Oh, yeah. Ugh, yeah. Okay, so July 9th, 2000 was my mom's 21st birthday. She'd been with dad for a year by then, dating long distance during the school month. By Christmas, they'd be engaged and she'd be pregnant with me. So yes, we learn basically about a little bit more about her mom and how, again, she's kind of always been a little bit of a, I guess, wild child, so to speak. And she had what they called like her disappearing act. She, the first time, you know, like panic ensued. They went and tried to find her. I called 911 and her mom was just like sitting there in a towel, you know, drinking a soda. Like she was fine. She made her way back. She says that her dad hated the disappearing act. One time she did it while they were sitting with friends at Lake North and he was so angry he broke up with her. And after like a bunch of apologizing, she gets back in his good graces and they end up back together. So here she is, about to enter her birthday weekend, which she wanted to celebrate all weekend. Her dad was in school still. He was taking summer courses for dental school. And she'd been looking forward to his visit because, again, they'd been long distance for months. And that morning he called and said that there was a mandatory study group and he wouldn't be able to make it. So she's really upset. She ends up, you know, basically kind of going on a bender, it kind of sounds like. And she was super hungover the next day. She slept in and now it's officially her birthday. Also officially the day of the accident, which again is the first time we're learning that the accident took place on her mom's birthday. So that's definitely an interesting fact. So yes, it's her first legal birthday. She's ready to go party. So she goes over to Celeste and Silas' new place. They'd been married for a couple of years and already had Jack. So Jack is already in the picture at this point. Again, it does seem like a lot of them got married pretty young, had kids pretty young, but not too crazy for especially a small town. Like it kind of tracks. So, you know, they have a whole little party there. She arrives with Chris Price. Again, they were like best friends and they proceeded to down shots of tequila. You know, they do the whole evening and they end up, as it says, you know, the Calvander girls, stubborn as a rule, we're not budging. They're trying to do like a game night kind of thing. They leave to go to a bar in town and they drink a pitcher of beer and basically like get tossed out of the bar because they are inebriated. And he, of course, Chris at this point has Rue is like his mother is pregnant with Rue at this point. He has a kid on the way, which as we now know is Rue. So anyways, they were currently broken up at the moment. It sounds like him and Stephanie had a bit of a complicated relationship, which it sounds like a lot of like Waverly and her dad had a complicated relationship. So anywho, they end up, it was just the two of them then, at the end of the night, and they end up with a six pack that they grab from the market. So even though they've been kicked out of a bar for already being pretty inebriated, they end up getting more. And, it says it probably felt like old times, high school days when they'd had nothing to worry about but curfew. But beyond that buzz, the real world was looming. Chris was going to be a dad. My mom was moving away. Bailey said Celeste had always wondered what they talked about that night, alone on the raft in the dark. But Waverly had never said she never talked about it at all, which I can understand that being obviously a traumatic evening for her. So, yeah. So it sounds like they're both in their early 20s going through some relationship drama. Mom's upset because she thought the dad was going to be able to make it. He's not. It's her 21st birthday. She's with an old friend. They get super inebriated and make poor decisions because, again, like they're on the cusp of this like adulthood. Like they're on the cusp of like big changes and they're not handling it very well. So basically this is what they know. At some point she pulls her disappearing act. She slides into the water. Chris obviously kind of panics. He starts trying to look for her, but then he becomes angry. By the time he gets into the boat to search, he was enraged, and his blood alcohol test would later show way over the legal limit. He had to be, everyone said, to forget the contours and landmarks of the lake he knew by heart and run at full speed into the mooring that was 100 feet from the Calvander dock. He wasn't in the boat as it began to sink. He'd be pinched into the water, breaking his neck. Ooh. It might have all started with Waverly wanting to vanish, but in the end, he was the one who was gone. And again, this is something that lingers over this town and lingers over all of the children of these people and whatever. And again, it's this big thing. And Emma never knew until now, like basically what the situation is. So that's the situation, and it is very tragic and very believable, obviously. Like, this is something that people do all the time. Again, the amount of people that it's, like, a culture to, like, drink in boat is wild to me, absolutely wild to me. And yet, here we are. But, yes, I could definitely see a couple of, you know, 21, 22-year-olds doing some real dumb stuff and then having to live with the consequences for the rest of their life. And it also makes sense. Again, we know her mom definitely struggled with things before, but it makes sense why I think the years following, she may have gone even down a darker path. Yeah. Because obviously she had a lot of trauma and probably unresolved guilt and stuff from that evening. So
yeah, very, the guilt is interesting. Huge factor.
Yeah, like eating at her. And I can imagine her wanting to kind of find a way to dull it. And unfortunately she, so that's super sad. Basically one stupid decision kind of ruins two lives, essentially. So that sucks. So anyways, we then get to a text exchange between her and Ryan. Ryan has decided to embrace camp and she's out on a morning hike and, you know, she's like, Dad said I needed to get involved. So she's doing tech for, one of the shows at the, you know, the drama camp that she's in. And she asks about how, mystery grandma is, and she decides to kind of leave it brief and she's not going to get into all the like family drama and all the stuff she's learned. So she's like, good, learning my way around. And that's basically the end of their conversation. She says that, Brian was doing shows. I was cleaning rooms. When Bridget had predicted a different summer, she'd been on to something, even if I never expected anything like this, which it's like, yeah. So anyway, she comes out the next morning. Trinity assumes that she's hungover and she's like, no. And she's like, oh, like you guys were out pretty late. She explains it's because they had to walk home because Jack took the boat because Bailey had been drinking. Trinity's kind of like, in my shoes, impressed, like, dang, I know those wedges that you want. She's like, no, took them off. My feet were filthy. Again, who hasn't been there after a long night? You're like, F these shoes. And then you go home, you just got to wash your totally filthy feet. Here we are again, back with the toast. It's every morning, we got to start with toast. So she's asking about them, like the boys they were hanging out with, like they're both rich and in college. She's like, oh, I don't know about the rich part, but like probably I know that they're in college. And she's like, are you coming to help again? And she's like, yep, meet me over there at 9 sharp. Awesome Blossom. And then she gets a text from one of the guys, the redhead Blake, who told her to go to a dark place and she followed him. Sailor? No. And he's like, at the docks today, you should come by. And she's like, oh, like he's gotten my number. Like I did make a good impression then. Like I had my first kiss with him, like maybe. And she's like, oh, you know, gotta work. Like maybe I'll try, whatever. So yeah, so she's texting this boy. Don't love that, but you know, whatevs. Then, Jack comes into the kitchen. He sees that she's, this is another kind of funny joke of hers. Yes. Dark humor, but funny. He's like, obituaries, huh? Kind of a morbid way to start the day. And she's like, death is no joke, I pointed out. And he's like, I did say that, didn't I? And she's like, yeah, yeah, you did. Among other things. So they kind of have a little conversation about it. And he's like, you know, like I was just trying to like look out for whether she sees it that way or not. And she's like, you know, yeah, but like, might have been handled a bit more diplomatically. So he asked about how mad she was and she's like, oh, she was like a 12. And he's like, oh, like, you know, I'm sorry that you had to like deal with that. And she's like, honestly, like the walk was fine. And she's like, even though she was at a 12. And, so he asked her just like one more question. He's like, is she really into this yacht guy? And she's like, yeah, like I think so. Like I think they're, you know, maybe gonna be kind of hot and heavy. And then again, Jack's, I think, kind of not happy about this, and he just kind of ends the conversation with like, tell her the boat needs gas. He's like, okay, we're gonna put a pin in that. And she's like, okay, yep. And so as he leaves, he shuts the door slowly, so for once it didn't slam. And that's where we end our journey today, y'all. Our little journey in Lake North Lake, whichever. We were kind of in both places. So yes, we've kind of sort of started learning the mystery of Rue's dad's death, Chris's death, and all that that entails. We've got our first look at where the rich people live. And we're starting to warm to Trinity Tiffany. so lots going on. Yeah, excited obviously to see where we head with this. Personally, I wouldn't go for Blake. I don't know if that's gonna work out. Tech bro,
fuck no.
He's wearing a freaking blue sports coat and khaki pants, and you can't tell us otherwise, okay? And he doesn't seem to hate spinnerbait, so clearly we don't like him.
No,
but. That has been the rest of the story for today. Michael Ann, before we leave these fine folks, what is sparking joy in your life this week?
Well, Hilary Duff recently released a new album, which I was not like really too interested in, but I was like, I'm going to give it a listen. Love it. Been listening to it every single day. Yes. Very interesting. Like, I know we have older pop stars.
Yeah.
But there's just like something different about this album. Like, she sings about like having her first kid and like her previous relationship and like aging and being like, shit, what if I never feel anything new again? You know, like it's a yeah. bunch of like stuff like that. And it's just really interesting. And it has a great beat and it's very fun. And I love it.
Got a great beat. You can dance to it. I've started listening to it. I still have not finished it. I do have some cleaning to do today, so maybe I'll pop it on while I'm cleaning, because I do tend to listen to a lot of music when I clean. So that's definitely an option. Cleaning or driving. Those are my two biggest music listening times. But yeah, good old Hillary. I'm happy to have her back out there. And I do think it's an interesting perspective, being a woman who kind of like obviously came into the stratosphere of fame when she was quite young and then kind of like disappeared, had like a more normal life for a little bit, had kids, and now coming back with a pop album. Like, that's, it's a very interesting take on the pop genre, I would say. It's fun.
Yeah, shitload of kids.
So many kids. I mean,
so many kids.
Good for her, but that sounds exhausting to me. But good for her, you know, lots of kids.
Good for her. She seems really happy, so.
Yeah, so that's all, you know, that's all that matters in the grand scheme of things, for sure.
Also, the rumor is that her and Hailey Duff don't speak anymore because Hailey Duff is a Republican.
Yeah.
So that's fascinating. It's not confirmed, but that is the rumor. They stopped talking in 2019, I think, which is kind of a pivotal year that a lot of family members stopped talking.
Yeah, exactly. So I could see the rumor being true, for sure, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But that's what's bringing me joy this week. How about you?
Yes. What is bringing me joy this week? Okay. Weird things that make me laugh. Yesterday, I was watching Bridgerton. Mike comes home and he's like, I'm just going to take a nap. I thought he was going to go upstairs and take a nap because I was watching TV in the living room. No, he just took a nap on the other end of our couch, which, like, cool, cool. Definitely snoring throughout the entire thing. And I'm, like, turning up the volume, trying to hear them, like, talk in whispers, you know? Anyways, he wakes up and he's like, was I snoring? And I'm like, oh, yeah. And he's like, on a scale of 1 to 5. And I'm like, a solid 4. And so then he wanted to ask, like, what's the loudest I've ever heard him snore? But instead he's like, what's the loudest you ever heard me snore? And it was so, I was like crying. I don't know why this was so funny to me, but I was like, it sounds like IKEA furniture. I'm going to go build me snore. Like, I just was dying laughing over this. And like, for the rest of the day, anytime I could fit in the word snore, I did. So I hope that brings everyone else joy. Please use the word snore wherever you can fit it in appropriately, because it was so funny to me. Yeah, I want to listen to more of this Hilary Duff album. I know we don't like men on this podcast by default, but I am kind of excited for the new Harry Styles album to come out, because I do always enjoy those. Harry Styles and Ed Sheeran get a pass for me. But other than that, no men. But I do always enjoy that. So that's coming out this week, the week of like your birthday. So probably it will be out by the time this episode comes out. So drop what your favorite song is on the album, everyone. Would love to know. So we got that to look forward to, and we have a big episode. We're not going to spoil it, but we're going to tease. We do have a big episode coming up on Hate Centerbait, so that is bringing me lots of joy. Very excited about that. So keep your eyes peeled to the socials. Keep your ears peeled to the podcast space. Big episode coming your way this March. So hope you all look forward to that, and hope it brings you all joy. Yeah, I think that's about all I got. Yeah. You know, snur
all day, snur all night.
Yeah, do it. Get some rest. It's important. Hydrate. Get some rest. Take care of yourselves. It's a crazy world out there. Do what you got to do to make it through another day. Be well.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.